In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. On that first day, 3 days before he created sun and moon and stars, God said, "Let there be light." A light that was himself, that would shine on the newly created but dark universe. A light that still shines in heaven, as St. John would write in Revelation, "And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." But almost as soon as God had created the light in a perfect, beautiful universe, walking in harmony with him, darkness would descend. Humanity would struggle in that darkness, seeking some glimmer of the true light that is God. He who spoke into the darkness of an unformed world would shine still, even in the darkness of human sin and misery, as he who is eternal God would send prophet after prophet, priest after priest, servant after servant, to bring his light into a world lost in darkness, fear, and dread. He would give his light to Israel through those servants. But the day would come when he would no longer send a servant of the house, but he would send his own son, the true light to the world. You know, I never really understood the power of darkness until some years ago when I was a brand new Navy chaplain. I had finished all my training and I had an assignment to a destroyer squadron. And the Commodore decided we're going to send the new chaplain out to sea. Well, the ship he chose was the USS Vreeland, which is a frigate. Frigate, you guys understand, is not a big ship. It's a small ocean-going warship. It doesn't have a lot of armor. It doesn't have a lot of guns. It has a different kind of mission. And it relies largely on technology and stealth. Now, stealth means at sea, you run without lights at night, so you can't be seen. Well, after a few days on board Vreeland, I decided, I'm now an old salt. I can do this. So I decided I was going to leave the shell of the ship and go out and sit on, or walk out to, rather, the outer deck and see what a night at sea looks like. Well, there were a few things I didn't know. One is, when you're that far from land, there are no lights. The second is, that night was heavily cloud-covered. No light from moon or stars shined. And, of course, there's no lights on the ship. What I also didn't know is my night vision isn't all that good. And as I walked out on that deck, I realized at one moment that I didn't know how to get back in. And I knew if I walked too far in the wrong direction, I'd have this very, very long swim back to Florida. So I thought, okay, the bright thing to do is just sit down and wait for the sun to come up. But as soon as I did that, the hatch opened. And this young sailor, who I didn't know had been assigned by the skipper to track me, says, "Sir, would you please come back in here?" I'll let you fill in the way he really said this. "Would you please come back in here? The skipper would be really mad," fill in the blank, "if I lost the chaplain." So I said, "Young man, just keep that hatch open. You see, there's this little red light that was inside the hatch that they can use because you can't see it from very far. But I could see it. It was a light. and I knew which way to go for safety. The incarnate Son of God came into a world filled with a much more profound darkness than the darkness of a Navy ship at sea at night. He came into a world to meet people where they were, Gentiles and Jew alike. And in our text, he meets the Pharisees, as he does on many occasions. The Pharisees, you see, lived in this world of darkness. Now, don't think the Pharisees were the worst. In many ways, they are the best of Judaism. They desperately want the light of God in their lives, and they seek every way they can imagine to see that light. But they're always looking in the wrong place. All their laws, all their rules were really nothing more than the holiness of the temple that they sought to transfer now into their daily lives, in their home, in their villages. That somehow, in that, in this world of darkness, of sin, of hurt, of pain, they could find the light of God. But that was their very problem. They struggled profoundly to find a light in the darkness. But they thought that light would come from their own day-to-day holiness. And so when Jesus speaks to the Pharisees, he absolutely shocked them. "I am the light of the world," he said. "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." They heard the very one who at creation had spoken those words, "Let there be light." And now, veiled in human flesh, he stood before them and said, "I am the light of the world." Before them stood the one that they had sought in so many ways, but always in the wrong places. Here was the true light of the world. But what they saw was a man, the true light, hidden in the flesh of humanity. They challenged him because they didn't want to believe his words. And under Mosaic law, you needed two witnesses. They said, "You bear witness about yourself. Your testimony isn't true." He says, "No, the Father bears witness of me. But you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." See, that darkness, like that night at sea, is overwhelming. It's confusing. You don't know which way to turn. It's a darkness that can only be overcome by the light. The church is now in the middle of Lent, that season that is in many ways the darkest time of the church year. The Alleluias are gone. The paraments are a penitential purple. The bright and joyous music is not played. It's somber. It's a time of repentance. Because you see, this Lenten pilgrimage that we're on will lead us into the valley of the shadow, yes, even the darkness of death itself. It leads us to follow the light of the world as he's rejected by the crowds, as his friends deny him and betray him, as those that followed him desert him, as he's delivered over to Pontius Pilate to be crowned with thorns, to be beaten, to be mocked, to bear his cross to a place called Golgotha. We follow him. We see him hanging alone, deserted, bearing the sin of the world. The true light nailed to a cross. We see him taken down from that cross. We follow him as he's taken not to a tomb that was his own, but to a tomb that was borrowed. And in the absolute darkness of a sealed stone tomb, there, the body, the light of the world, is left. But not even the darkness of the tomb could hold back the light that is the true light of the world. For Easter does not end with the story of a sealed tomb. Lent does not end with that. It ends with Easter, when the true light of the world rose on Easter morning. No darkness could hide him again. He shines forever. He is the true light of the world. This seminary, this community, is all about one thing: joining our voices to those who bear witness that Jesus is still the light of the world, and that in his light, the world has found peace and favor with Almighty God. Here, deaconesses are formed to be his voice of compassion and his hands of mercy in a world that knows neither compassion nor mercy. Here, pastors are formed to be his prophets, to proclaim his light into a world that knows no light, to be his ear in confession, to be his voice in absolution, to be his hands as he administers his own blessed sacraments. You will be sent, but you'll be sent into a world that is as dark as it ever was. I have no idea where you're going to go. I have no idea where I'll be tomorrow, let alone where you will be 20 years from now. I do know this: you will go with the light of the world into a world where men and women still wander hopelessly in the darkness, and they don't even know that there's a light. In a world where violence and war continues to rage. In a world where human life is counted of no real value, simply another commodity to be exchanged or terminated if it shouldn't be there, to which a dollar figure can be attached. Into a world of darkness and despair, as human beings created by God, loved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus himself, try to find meaning and value, but ultimately find that life for them is a long, futile, and dark journey to an even darker grave. But it is in that world that the light still shines. The light cannot be put out by the darkness of this world. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. He is still the light of the world, who brings his very self into the lives of human beings. In all the darkness of this world, there yet shines that light from his word, that light from the font, that light from the altar. A light that shines now into your life and mine. A light that you will speak in those simple but most profound words: your sin is gone. You are his. He has claimed you in word. He has claimed you in water. He has claimed you in the bread and the wine, his true body, his true blood. In all the darkness, there is a light. There is one true light, and that light will never be overcome. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.